Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27. Join your hosts, Sandra Flack.
In Matthew 25:35, Jesus tells us, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in." Welcome to Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. I'm your host, Sandra Flack. Our guest today is Colleen Vogel, Director of Recruitment and Retention of Foster Care for Northern Rivers Family of Services, covering 19 New York counties. Northern Rivers is the parent company to Parsons and Northeast Parent Child. Welcome to the show, Colleen.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's an honor to have you here. We'd love to just bring that awareness to the community for the need for foster families. So today, as we focus on foster care in New York and especially here in the Capital Region, the nationwide and even locally, the numbers are pretty grim. I know that there are approximately 420,000 children in the United States in foster care, and almost 112,000 of them are waiting for permanency, forever families. And New York has some of the highest numbers nationwide, with approximately 23,000 New York children in foster care. Almost 6,000 of them are waiting to be adopted. But Colleen, what does the need look like here closer to home?
The need, we, as you said, we contract with 19 different counties. And I would say between the seven offices, we get multiple calls per day by local districts, Department of Social Services. That's how the kids enter foster care. And we are getting calls that we are in need of children, from little infants up until teens, and kids, youth who are up to 21. And we are looking for homes that are willing to have special talents and interests and willing to open their homes. These kids come from difficult backgrounds, a lot of trauma, but they're in need of homes and safe people that they can learn to trust.
And those numbers we shared are fluid because, like you said, kids come into care every day.
Yes.
And some do get reunified, which is the purpose of foster care, to reunify them when it's safe and prudent to do so. Sometimes that happens, sometimes it doesn't. But there's always a need because children are always coming into care. So explain for us why a child would come into foster care.
Great question, a very common question. Kids come into foster care through the order of family court in one way. They come in due to varying degrees of abuse, physical abuse or sexual abuse, and neglect. There's times where families undergo and they have a lot of financial problems and they are unable to provide financial means, and they go hungry or they go sometimes homeless. And so the kids, if they can't find any other family resources, they then enter into foster care. Sometimes families can voluntarily place their children in foster care for temporary reasons, such as maybe the parents have some serious medical, emotional problems, some financial problems as well. That could be other reasons. And kids who have sometimes they're what we call persons in need of supervision, when they have some juvenile delinquency behaviors, and that they cannot be in the home, their own home, safely, that they can enter foster care.
So, Colleen, the need is for good, safe, loving homes for these children, either, like we said, temporarily until reunification or permanently. So what do you look for in potential foster parents?
Great question. We have a lot of different foster parents. A common misperception is that, you know, I have to be married or I have I have to have a house. The minimum age to be a foster parent is 21 years old. So, and we have foster parents in their 20s, their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and we have had foster parents in their 70s. And what we're looking for is people who are willing to open their homes. They have the time and energy. We want people to really get to know our children in care, look behind and past some of the behaviors that they may be displaying, and really understanding where they're coming from, and help really look at what they need and do what they can to help them feel more comfortable and feel safe. Because a lot of these kids that come into these homes, they don't know what safety is, and they're very hypervigilant. They're always kind of looking around. They're just looking for people to be safe and trusting adults.
Mm. So they can be married or single?
Correct.
Single foster parents. Yes. And basically, it doesn't have to be a big, huge house, but a room.
A room, yes. We have regulations that we have to follow through the Office of Children and Family Services through New York State. And so we make sure we do a home safety check. And they have to have a bedroom. Mm-hmm. They have to have a bed, either a dresser or a closet that they can put their belongings in. And that they just feel like they have an area for themselves. They don't have to have their own bedroom. We do have foster families that have their own children. And there are times where they share rooms with their foster siblings. So that's an okay thing, too. We have a lot of foster parents who last minute, I'm going to go get some bunk beds, because we do get those sibling groups.
Yeah. So it's okay if they share a room, they don't share a bed.
Correct.
Everybody has to have their own bed.
Yes.
So families that have their own children can also foster.
Yes, yes. So. And it's really, we do encourage that it's a real foster family that we have. And that when we go through and we meet the families, it's the parents that come into the trainings. But we do try to get to know the kids in their home, too, and that they have an understanding of what it means with foster care and having a kid in their home that's not related to them. So they really get excited to have those kids in their homes.
Great. And then what about if a foster family works full time?
Yes, we do have foster families that work. That's actually very common. And we have clinical case managers that are assigned to the child that's in the home. And that person is working with and communicating on a regular basis with the foster parents and helping them with appointments sometimes. And because the families will have weekly visitation, they may have doctor's appointments, they may have mental health appointments, and that we would work together with that family to support them. Because we do understand that they wear a lot of hats, and we want to make sure that we're doing what we can to support them.
Mm, that is great. So when a person is interested in becoming a foster parent, what does that process look like?
Great. Yes. The first thing we need to have them do is just give us a call or look at us on the website. Our phone number is 1-844-855-CARE. And the person at the end of the phone call will answer, get your name and contact information, and one of our 7 home finders will reach out to you. Another avenue to take is our website, which is www.givehopeahomeny.org, and also www.northernrivers.org. On there, you can enter your contact information. It does give a little comment section, which if you have any questions. So our home finders would reach out to you and set up a time either over the phone or we can go to your home, you can come to us, and kind of answer those initial questions. And so we would get that information. If they're interested, we have application, and there's the paperwork process. So that would start. And what we do is we try to do that in piecemeal, because there's background checks. There's a lot of different things that you have to do. If it's something that the family feels like it's a good fit, then it would be the training process. And there's different avenues to take. The mode of class we like to do is what we have is a MAP class training. And it's a 10-week course. And you do a lot of different things. There's role playing. That lays a good foundation of what the foster care system is, who the players are, what to expect, how to deal with grief and loss, how to deal with a different attachment, behavioral techniques and interventions and discipline. So it goes through a very good gamut of people feel like they understand foster care a little bit better. And we make appointments. The next step is that we would make appointments to meet with the family in their home, get a sense of what the home looks like, get to know the family a little bit more in preparation of writing what we call a home study. And it's a document that just outlines who they are as a family, what they can offer, their special interests and talents, to help really look at what the family's all about to make that good match that we can with the kids that come into care. And then when that's all completed, and all the paperwork and background checks, then they are licensed and they are ready to go. And part of the process at the end is assessing the impact of, okay, you've gone through all this, you know, you may have met some other foster parents, and you got to know yourself a little bit more and what your family could offer. What do you think would be best fit for you? So then we would talk to them and they can really self-reflect, okay, I want to work with teenagers. And so that we would kind of look at doing that and what we can to set them up for success.
So a family could specify teens, or some people are afraid of like teenagers.
Yes.
And you know, some they might want infants or babies, or some people want to sleep through the night. So
yes,
elementary school age children. So you can kind of specify what would be the best fit for your family.
Yes, because you know your family the best. And even if you're maybe on a full-time basis that you don't want to take a teen, but you know, maybe on a part-time basis, what we call respite, that you know what, let's try, I would like to try to work with a teen. But we would definitely go off of what you feel is best and, you know, match you as closely as possible, because we want to be successful. We want the child to feel comfortable in the home, and we want you to feel comfortable too.
Right. That is great. And I know training is a crucial part of that. As an adoptive mom myself, I know the importance of being trauma trained. It takes a different set of parenting tools to parent what we call kids from hard places. So the MAP classes provide that training, correct?
Yes.
And what about once the training is complete, a family is certified and they have kids in the home, is there ongoing support if they were to run into some kind of a problem or an emergency at night? You know, those teens.
Yes. And yes, we are a trauma-informed agency. And that is the language that is really kind of woven through the training and post-certification. Even our staff are trained so that in the moment, whether you're calling after hours on a holiday, we do have those on-call services, you're going to get the trauma approach. And what we really go off of is not what's wrong with this child or this youth, what happened to this youth. Mm-hmm. And it's a different lens when you're approaching a behavior, approaching a crisis, because it helps that with that deeper level of understanding. Post-certification, yes, we do require our foster parents to have 12 extra hours of training. And that's really for tools in your toolbox. And we're very creative of how that's accomplished, because people get nervous, like, oh, how am I going to fit that in? Mm-hmm. We have all this stuff that we have to do. But we really work with the foster parents. And every year, a family has to be what we call recertified. So we take a look at the year, how it went, what are your needs, foster parents? What are things that you are looking for? So we're going to cater it to what you're looking for you to be successful with either the child in your home or on a part-time basis if you have children on a regular basis. We're going to try to match what you need. And sometimes it's just through books. Sometimes it's through, we've done trainings like there's 60-minute spots on mm-hmm. TV that we can really be like look at and really have deep conversations to make sure that we are getting those training hours in.
Wonderful. So families are supported all the way around. And that's excellent for retention, really.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Colleen, would you share some success stories from the field with us?
Yes, we have a lot of success stories. And that's honestly, you know, why I keep going. These foster parents that we have are just amazing, amazing people. And I think, you know, first and foremost, we are a foster care agency. And what that means is that our first One of our big missions is preserving families. So when foster parents become foster parents, they, you know, they quickly understand that this is about the reunification process. Mm-hmm. So just with that, and that's kind of, I'm prefacing that because I have success stories based on that. I can think of one example when we had a little girl that came in to care. She was about 3 years old. And it was, she was removed from her mom due to her mom was going through a difficult emotional time and needed to be hospitalized. And the child had a lot of significant needs, a lot of developmental needs, and was little. So she came into a home with a foster mom and a foster dad, and she was very detached from, she didn't know, she didn't fully understand why she was there, would have nightmares, would have difficulty settling because it was in a strange place.
It's scary for a three-year-old.
Yes. And it was what it was amazing to the what our foster parents did with the child and the birth mom. The foster parents reached out to the birth mom and said, you know, she's really having a hard time settling in. You know, do you have a routine? Do you read a special story? You know, so the mom was able to provide them some really good tips of what helped. And so that familiarity of in that contact was really, really helpful for the child mm-hmm. to slowly settle in. And the child was able to talk to the mom over the phone, and the birth mom was really good about saying, you know, you can trust these people. They're mommy's friends. Just in an age-appropriate way for the child to be like, okay, because children are taught to not look at strangers or don't mm-hmm. talk to strangers, and here she is in a different person's home.
Right.
So it was that type of contact that the foster parents and the birth parent had throughout. When it came to the child not feeling good, the foster parents would reach out, and through visits too, the foster parents were involved in the visitation, and they were very they had such a good working relationship, which helped the birth mom feel better and kind of get stronger for herself, and got back on her feet. And in about a year, the child was reunited with her mom.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really hard on the foster parents, but they saw that the bond that they had, and that, you know, they quickly realized, oh, you know, this woman had a hard time. She didn't have a lot of supports.
Right.
And so the foster parents were really attuned to that and reached out. And it was they were really fostering the family,
mm-hmm.
not just the child, which wow. I thought was great. And to this day, it's been probably about 3 or 4 years. And the foster parents still connect with that child and the family. You know, there's times where the mom has to work, and so the child will go to their house post, you know, reunification.
Yeah.
And they still have an incredible bond.
So now they're like an extended family.
Extended family.
Well, that's
and
great.
I love sharing that story because it really captures what we're trying to achieve here
mm-hmm.
is reuniting families, strengthening communities. And, you know, the child didn't have to be pulled between two different people. You were really filling the need
yeah.
of that child.
I think often the misconception is that the birth parent or parents are these bad, the enemy, they're the bad people. And that's not the case.
Right. It's really, I think a lot of it is the lack of support
yeah.
that they have or good support. Sometimes the supports that they have is, you know, either not appropriate or maybe that's all that they do have.
Mm-hmm.
And so they rely on the wrong people and then the wrong things happen. And I've never met a birth family or birth parent who didn't love their child.
Right.
They just knew that they were going through the hard time and they couldn't provide or they couldn't attend to the needs. I mean, I know if I didn't have extended family for me, it'd be really hard.
Yeah.
For some days.
So lack of resources is a yes. huge contributing factor to why children can end up in care.
In care, right. And that's part of what the work that we do in conjunction with different collaterals, whether it's school or the Department of Social Services, and helping those families access those resources so that they can be successful.
Wonderful. Another one? Do you have another story?
Yeah. So we have another, what I was thinking is a child who was in care for a really long time. And she was really struggling. She came in, a lot of sexual abuse, mm-hmm. Neglect, and she bounced from home to home mm-hmm. quite a lot. And she ended up in a residential type of facility, and she was even struggling there. And she wasn't in our program, but she always was on my mind because it's just one of those situations where this little girl, she just needed a home.
Because mm-hmm.
there was times where she was successful. So I thought of this one, a newer foster family that I just thought would be the greatest match. And I contacted them, and we started setting up just visits for the family to go meet with her at the residence. And they slowly started to get a bond. And what I liked about it is that they really took the time to get to know the child. And it's significant because sometimes people go into this, they want to extend their own family, mm-hmm. which is fine, but you have to really understand these kids. And a kid that's in residential placement, they're there for a reason.
Yeah.
They have a lot of behavioral issues. And they were really working with and trusting the social workers and would really spent some good time getting to know this little girl. And they slowly integrated her back into family, because kids who are removed from a family setting, they forget how mm-hmm. to even function
in a family. Yeah.
And this little girl had to reestablish, like, understanding what the role of a mom was, because she came from living with her dad. Mm-hmm. So she didn't understand the level of, you know, understanding the mom role, and her mom had abandoned her too, so she had a lot of issues with that.
Yeah.
And the foster mom really, she stood strong and just was able to look at what the girl needed,
mm-hmm.
and it was less about what the girl was saying, because you mm-hmm. can get personally attacked,
yeah.
and it hurts. But this yeah. foster mom was kind of saw past that and understood the issues, and just knew that I'm just going to keep going. She's going to know that I'm there.
Mm.
And it worked out where the child was able to transition to their home, and probably another year went by before they adopted her.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Permanency
was reached.
Yeah.
Yes.
Success story.
And that was a situation where people were thinking that she was probably going to end up in residential for most of her life. And because she had to break through that trust.
Yeah. Trust is a huge issue, because
yes.
when trust has been broken, those adults that were supposed to care for you and take care of you didn't, it's harder to trust.
Exactly. When your own parents were supposed to
yeah.
be there, you know, the eyes in the back of my head, I know what's going on.
Yeah.
And then that doesn't happen. And someone who is a perfect stranger who has all the good intentions, but then, you know, it's still the child that doesn't yeah. understand that.
Yeah. Yeah. So oftentimes with the behaviors, that's what you have to do. You have to look past the behavior and look at the why. What's the history? You know, why is this happening? Why is this child behaving that way? And it's not. It's trauma.
It's trauma.
So
yes.
I love the fact that she got adopted. That was
yes.
wonderful. So,
yes.
Colleen, give us the contact information again for
yes.
our listeners who might be interested in becoming a foster parent.
They can call our 1-800 number. It's 1-844-855-CARE. They can look at our website at www.givehopeahomeny.org and www.northernrivers.org. givehopeahome.org. We also have a Facebook page.
Yes.
Which is Give Hope a Home.
Awesome. So as we wrap up here today, what is on your heart that you want to make sure our listeners take away from our conversation?
That people can really do this. And people get nervous. And I want the community to know that there's kids in all of your communities that are in need of homes. And what we, and a lot of them are in school age kids. And it's so disruptive to have them be removed from all that they know, their families. And regardless of the fact that they may come from bad backgrounds and bad stuff happen, it's still their families. And that if we can at least put them in their communities that they're familiar with, meaning school, which is they're there the longest part of their day, that if we can keep their school the same, doctors the same, some of the same resources that they do access the same, that's going to be less traumatic for the child. Mm. And I think that people also, you're not going to be left alone. You know, we understand, a lot of us have been doing this for a long time. We know that we need to support our foster parents and that we're only a phone call away, and that's 24/7. So you have a question at 11 o'clock at night, or there's a crisis, then there's someone that you can access, and we're going to get to you and help you. That we are not going to abandon our foster parents, and we do what we can to support them every step of the way.
Wonderful. And like you said, there are children in need in every community. So we need good foster families in every community.
Yes.
Awesome. So thank you for all of your work on behalf of children and families in crisis. And thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you.
So if you are interested or you want to learn more about becoming a foster parent, you can call the 800 number again. That is 1-844-855-CARE. You can visit their website, givehopeahomeny.org, or their Facebook page, Give Hope a Home. And that is so that you can contact Northern Rivers. They are the parent company to Parsons and Northeast Parent and Child. So we want to thank you for listening to the show today. You can find more episodes on our website at justicefororphansny.org. You can also find the show on iTunes, Google Play, and Podbean. Just search for the show by name, Orphans No More. And be sure to follow or subscribe to the podcast. Every 25th follower gets a free bag of Greater Things Roasters coffee. And Justice for Orphans is a nonprofit ministry on a mission to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless. We inspire, educate, and equip the body of Christ to walk out James 1:27 in whatever way God calls you. Maybe it's to become a foster parent or a respite parent or to support a foster family. Learn more at justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.